Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. The Business Creators Radio Show takes you to those places where you have those mastermind meetings and aha moments that can change your trajectory or at least bring you a little bit closer to your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. So today I come to you from my purple couch in my sumptuous apartment here in Las Vegas, Nevada, known to some on some days as the hottest city in America. And we are going to be discussing credit card loyalty programs. Okay, you're thinking, what's this doing on the Business Creators Radio Show? Actually, the topic is about how CEOs can play chess and not checkers with their credit card strategy. So our guest, his name is Spencer Howard. He is a credit card loyalty program and travel rewards expert. He's also the founder of a company called Straight to the Points, which is the go-to resource for individuals looking to demystify credit card points they can experience traveling in luxury for business or pleasure, or occasionally both. Spencer believes that everyone deserves to fly business class at least once in their lifetime, and he's on a journey to make that happen. Since 2017, he's traveled for 3 months of the year and seen over 60 countries. He lives in Washington, D.C. with his family and recently became a dad. So first of all, Spencer, come on in. The weather's fine.
Thanks so much, Adam. It's great to be here.
And congratulations on being a dad.
Thank you very much.
All right. So a little bit more. I want to actually introduce a bit more of the interview description here so that people understand what it is we're going to be talking about. And then I'm going to turn things over to you. So as I said, this is about how CEOs can play chess and not checkers with their credit card strategy. So Spencer, as a business owner yourself, you have told us that there are two things that are very true about credit card company owners and CEOs. They're busy and they use their company credit card virtually every single day. Tell me about it. They tend to know they have accrued a boatload of credit card points and want to save effort and time when it comes to getting the most value for them. So what you do is help your own your audience's skills when it comes to the world of credit card points and rewards programs, and helps them think of it as a game of chess, where there's endless ways to win and get to the quite literal destination. And sometimes all it takes is widening a view of what's possible. So that's what you're here to deal with. But before we dive into, and you gave us some points to cover in the green room, which we'll get through in our conversation, what I'm going to do, and I do this on all our episodes, I'm going to turn it over to you for just a moment. Tell us a bit in your own words about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting road. I started working in politics and did that for about 10 years before even thinking about credit cards, really. Like, I had one because I should have one, but that was about it.
Right.
And was fortunate to find a political job that actually wanted me to take my days off. And that's when I decided to figure out how, because working in politics, you don't make a ton of money. So I was like, how can I do this? And then how can I do it up front? Because I'm 6'3 and I'm a big guy and I would like space to stretch out. And so I just kind of spent, 4 hours a night reading about all the rules around credit cards and airline programs for about 6 months. It was like taking myself to school. And from there, I just started writing about it and trying to help others do the same.
Right. So this is very interesting to me because, like a number of entrepreneurs, particularly with what's going on in the economy today, we've been forced to rely on our business credit cards a bit more than we had planned. And I'd like to see some payback for that. And what I mean by payback, aside from the getting the cards paid off, is to feel some rewards for being in this soup, basically. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on here, is because I want to give our listeners a new side of hope that they may not even be thinking about right now as they're looking to increase their revenue. So first of all, why should business owners care about implementing a business credit card strategy? First of all, define what that means and then tell us why should we care?
Yeah, I think individuals can do this too, but I think business owners are in a particularly good spot because there are business expenses. They have to, like, it's not one of those things where you can say, oh, I'm not going out to eat this week. Like, businesses have tons of expenses that they just have to pay for.
That's just the way it is.
That's just facts of life, and that's fine. And so to me, I'm like, you may as well get as much out of that spend as you can. Obviously, whatever service you're paying for, you want to get something out of it. But if there are points available that could help you book business or first class flights all over the world, like, why not get that too? That's why I think people should, you know, just take a little bit of time. It doesn't take too much, just to get something in place so that they can kind of be working towards a trip and what I would consider to be a much needed or deserved vacation. So yeah, that's kind of how I look at it.
Right. I think, I think that's a very, very, very fair assessment. So, tell us a bit about how this strategy would work. I get the idea of look for cards that give flight, you know, that give flight points, but take us a bit beyond that. There's got to be more.
Yeah. So I think most people, kind of taking a step back, I think most people think about frequent flyer programs. I don't even use the term frequent flyer anymore, because you can earn points in so many ways with credit cards. You don't actually have to be somebody who's on the road every week flying, going to, you know, different job sites. So right. That's kind of a misnomer. And I think it still prevents a lot of people from thinking they can participate in this. They think, oh, I don't travel a lot, so I can't do this. And I'm like, that's not the case anymore. It's right. maybe in the early 90s, but we've moved on. So now I think that the big focus for a lot of people should be finding credit cards that have good bonus categories based on where they spend their money. That could be gas, it could be software, it could be shipping, it could be going out to eat, whatever it is.
Right.
And then... And for me, I think focusing on what we call transferable points, which can be literally transferred to different airline programs.
Okay.
I think that should be the focus, because it just gives you more options. And when you are booking flights with points, you want flexibility. If a flight's not available with one points program, you want to be able to go over and use another one. So that's right. That's the oversimplified but very important structure that I start with anybody I talk to about cards.
Okay, so one of the cards I have is an American Airlines Advantage card through Barclays, and as of right now, I have the day we're recording this, February 12th, 2024, I have 12,244 total A Advantage miles racked up. So how far am I going?
Somewhere in economy within the U.S.
Okay.
Well, we got to step up your game a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So what am I doing to step up my game?
So to me, I think first you want to kind of decide what approach you want to take to getting credit cards. I break it down into three possibilities. The first one is like you're a bonus chaser. You just get a new card every chance you get to hit a sign-up bonus, because you'll never earn points faster than getting a sign-up bonus.
Right.
The second one is what I call kind of it's like a hub and supplement, where you get a few cards that kind of worked well together with different bonus categories and help you earn lots of points based on your spend habits. And then you supplement with a new card here and there. And finally, there's the keep it simple approach, which is like 1 to 3 cards and just never think about it again. So and there's no right or wrong answer. It's just a matter of like how much effort you decide to put into this particular hobby. And that's what it is. It's a hobby. And the more you put in, the more you get out. It's like anything else. Right. So depending on what strategy you would want to take, that's where I would start to kind of give you more personalized advice.
Okay. So where do we find the cards? And since we're talking about business cards specifically, one of the things I'm curious about is particularly, and this is something that when I mentioned to a few people, you're going to be on the show here today, a question that came up from a few of our listeners is particularly when you're in a situation where you are in the high range of utilization of your revolving credit. What options are there for that? Because I mean, I've read online forums about this topic actually, and the usual answer is, well, pay one down.
Yeah. I always tell people that like the points game is it's for those who are already kind of paying cards on time. They're not kind of carrying balances because like the interest rates you pay with credit cards are absurd. For anybody who's ever accidentally even missed a payment, you learn that lesson very quickly. So I always say like make sure you kind of have the finances in order. And then you can start kind of getting into the point side of things. Now, if you do have like really large spends that you need to do on a monthly basis, you actually want to look at like charge cards rather than credit cards. You've got to pay them off all on time.
Yeah.
But like an Amex Platinum or a Business Platinum, an Amex Business Gold, a Capital One Venture X Business, like they don't have set limits. So they base your kind of, it's kind of like a hidden limit, but it's based on your spend habits. Like if they see that you are spending a lot of money and continuing to pay it back, they will continue to increase kind of internally what they'll allow you to do. So I think those are nice because you don't run into issues not being able to make the purchase you need. And I know a lot of people who have to buy, whether it's equipment or just products that they're selling, and they don't like running into those moments.
I can certainly appreciate that. So what we've identified is the difference between a credit card and a charge card. So I want to make sure people are aware of that, because there are cards out there that will allow you to spend $100,000 a month, but you got to pay $100,000 a month in order to do that. But that's a great way to rack up points, at least from my understanding.
Yeah, and there's so many different, there's just so many different business models out there. I mean, if you're somebody who does like runs digital ads, like, you know, you need that, like, and you're just, especially if you're an agency that's running them, like you can get paid back by your clients. You know, you're getting paid back, assuming you have good clients, but like, just like you're going to put the spend on this, on these ads, like use a card that earns 3X instead of 1X and use those points to travel.
Exactly. So I guess my next question is here is, if you could tell us like a few of the strategic business owners that we strategic approaches that we as business owners can take when it comes to implementing this strategy, so we can maximize our points and, as you like to say, pop some bottles in business class midair.
Yeah, strategies too. So the big thing is like, I mean, there's earning and burning, as we say, or earning and redeeming the points. I think it's important to just match up your spend habits with bonus categories on cards. It could be anything from digital ads to phone and internet and shipping or whatever. But after that, it's kind of figuring out where you want to go and then learning about the ways to get there. One of my main projects, we'll say, is I have it's called my award alerts newsletter, where I send out the opportunities to use points for business and first class flights on international routes. And to me, that's
right.
It's a way to just make it easier, because, you know, an airline will sell you a ticket for cash, any seat in the plane. When it comes to using the points, they restrict how many seats are available. Sometimes there are none.
I've heard that too, that sometimes it's great to have the points, but you're kind of the bottom of the barrel, because as they see it, they already got your money.
Yeah. So
they're focusing on the new whale ship near the new whales slipping in.
For sure. But it's so my main goal with my newsletter is I'll send out minimum 2 seats in business up to 9, basically as many as they'll release on any one flight. And I'll break down like the different ways you can use your points, and so you can use them in the most efficient way possible, because, you know, the fewer points you use on one flight, the fewer points you have to earn for the next one.
Well, that's true.
And so, yeah, I think it's a good lesson for everybody is just like flexibility is key. Airlines aren't releasing award space based on our schedules. They're releasing it based on their patterns of selling tickets. And so it's more a matter of just being ready to jump on the opportunity when it presents itself.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. I agree. So basically what I'm curious about next is that, what made you so passionate about this to begin with?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because I was working in politics, travel wasn't exactly something they were like, oh yes, go take time off. Meanwhile, the rest of us will work 20 hours a day. So it was only once I kind of moved out of that working environment that I even had a chance to realize that I wanted to travel. And once I had that opportunity, I decided that I just want to do this as much as I can. So yeah, I feel like I don't even feel like a normal person unless I'm getting on a plane and flying overseas and trying, new food somewhere and meeting new people. And I don't know, it's just like, I find that it energizes me. And I think, honestly, like if you get to fly business or first internationally, it's a completely different experience, I think, for many of us because we're not crammed in the back of a plane for 12 hours and we can come out refreshed and, enjoy the journey. But yeah, I think that's just a general curiosity about the world is kind of what's, I don't know, spurs my continued efforts to find places to go and flights to take.
There is a difference between first class and steerage, I can tell you that much. There have been times when I've had some extra coin in my pocket, and on the spur of the moment I've upgraded to first class under the simple under that and I'm gonna say this as delicately, elegantly, professionally, and overall diplomatically as I can, because fuck it.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think, yeah, it's, I mean, I have flown, from, what was it, Philadelphia to New York to Japan to Taiwan, all in economy. I've done that. It's like, I know what that's like. It's still like, I still think it's great to go travel. Like whatever you want, whatever kind of flight you want, awesome, go do it. I focus on flying the front of the plane just because that's what I enjoy doing. But I'm all for people just kind of finding a way to use the points that they earn in the best way possible.
Right.
I'm just more helpful with the business and first class stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, like at absolute minimum, I'm looking for one of those. What do you call it? Those exit row seats.
Oh yeah, anything for legroom.
At least you can stretch out a little bit. I mean,
yeah, for sure. If I'm in economy, I'm definitely hoping that I can get an aisle so that I can lift the armrest and kind of shift over and get a little extra space. I think just what we all want on planes is more space.
Yeah, I think for a lot of us, I think what it's about is we just don't want the middle seat.
Yeah. I just recently flew in the middle seat in a 3-hour flight, and that was special.
Yeah. And you told us that you're like me, a little bit of a bigger guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't fit in airplane seats. It's, I'm sure, amusing for my friends when they see me sitting in one.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've taken photos of me before just to laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Right. I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. The thing about airplanes is they keep looking for ways to make the seats smaller so they can cram more people in. At the same time that human beings are just getting bigger. I saw this. I can't remember where it was. I saw this a few days ago where but not too long ago, there was this proposed design for seats on airplanes that they said was going to supposedly allow people to have more room, at the same time get more seats in, where the seats would basically face each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, sometimes I would say crazy seat designs that get floated at travel conferences. Mm-hmm. Some of them where it's like you're standing up or you're on like one stacked on another. And I'm always like, please don't. Just like, right. I know you think this is a good idea.
No, please, let's not go there. Come on, there's only so much we can do.
Yeah, there's an upper, or I guess I should say lower limit. Like what we should accept.
Yeah, it's like that right there. I'm sorry, I just cannot sign up for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I focus on the front. I think there's, oddly enough, I think there's a lot of even better business and first class products than there were years ago when the economy seats were bigger. So for better or worse, things have gotten better up front and
right.
Things have gotten worse in the back. So it's just, you know, it's the state of play. That's just what we have to work with. And I'm trying to find a way to navigate it.
Right. I got you. So I guess the next thing that I'd be curious about here, Spencer, is so here's another one. And if you could just develop this a little bit further, because I think I have an idea of this. I know you alluded to it earlier. The difference between airline loyalty programs and credit card points. Because those are two different things.
Yeah, it's a big part of what I would say the broader points world.
Right.
So basically, if you have airline miles, you just think of like, I can use those miles to fly that airline or its partner mm-hmm. airlines. And that is your kind of universe that you get to work with. So let's say you have United miles. It's all United flights and they're Star Alliance partners. And for just a quick background, like there are three major airline alliances, Star Alliance, Oneworld, and SkyTeam. So
right.
United's and Star Alliance. However, if you have like Chase Ultimate Rewards points or Bilt Rewards points, you can transfer those points to United, but you can also transfer them to other partners. And so rather than just kind of working with United's universe, you have that, but you could also have Flying Blue, which is Air France and KLM's loyalty program, which gives you access to their flights plus other SkyTeam partners. Like Bilt is a partner of Cathay Pacific Asia Miles, which is a Oneworld airline. So now you have access to that to that alliance. And so with transferable points, you kind of get to be a free agent. You don't have to be locked into a particular airline's program. And I, like I said, when flexibility is so important, having more options is great. So
yeah.
If I can't find a flight on a Star Alliance partner to Europe and I want to go to Europe and, you know, when this date range, but there's something on SkyTeam, I can use my Flying Blue miles to go fly the SkyTeam partner. So it could be the difference between taking the trip and not taking the trip. So
right.
To me, that's why I always hammer on focus on transferable points. It's not that airline miles, like earning them specifically, don't have a place. It's just, to me, a supplementary aspect of this.
Got it. So, this is, this might be, one of our more concise interviews on Business Creators Radio Show, and that's perfectly okay, because there's really only so much you can say about this. But what I want to do is I want to leave our listeners with a roadmap that they can, since they may be getting out of school a few minutes early today, can begin to pursue right away. So, what are some of the best resources for people to consider when they're looking to find some of these cards?
Yeah. So if you're just getting started, I have a beginner's guide on my website, straighttothepoints.co. And it gives you kind of those foundational pieces. I like people to get that foundation before they start trying to pick credit cards. because with chess, you've got to kind of think moves ahead. And I think this will help with that.
Right.
And then once you have that, I list the best offers that are available every month on my website. And it's just an easy way for you to get the most points possible.
Yeah.
And then finally, when you're ready to start figuring out how to use points, sign up for my newsletter.
Okay, great, great, absolutely. So I want to give people the website. It's straighttothepoints.co.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. You know what? I've seen this. Yeah, I was doing a search for this topic about a week and a half ago. I didn't know this was yours.
That's me.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, yeah, this is you must be running some sort of advertising on this, because I probably saw an ad or something like that. Oh, really?
Zero ads.
Well, I'm
just out there.
Right. Well, whatever it is, it's coming up. Yeah, and I see okay. Yeah, this is this is a great website. So, absolutely, straighttothepoints.co. You're going to find a lot of great resources here. And if you have any final thoughts for our listeners, just in terms of, you know, what they can do to begin this right away, other than checking out your website, getting educated a little bit more, you know, what are some of the other things that they can do?
Yeah, but quickly before I do that, I just want to say I've got a link specifically for Adam and the Business Creators Radio Show. Uh-huh. So if you want to sign up for the newsletter and support him, I will provide him the link so he can add it to the show notes. So
oh, sure. Yeah,
a nice way to support your show.
Actually, I do believe I have that. And let me just go to my own notes here. I believe you sent this to us this morning. And where is this thing? Oh yes. It's straighttothepoints.co/, and then the name of our show, Business Creators Radio Show, with hyphens between each of those words. The easy way for people to find this, just look in the show notes. In fact, let me click on it and see what you have for us here. Ooh, okay. Nice. Okay, very good. All right. So, Spencer, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor and, believe me, an education.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.